Thanks, Joel, for leading us in worship tonight. You always do a good job. Doesn't he do a good job? He does a good job. So I want to start off by saying that there are essentially two ways that we can live our lives. We can live and learn, which means, you know, we go through life and we make mistakes and we learn from those mistakes, right? And that can be kind of difficult sometimes. You know, sometimes the mistakes that we make have bad consequences, and it takes some time to overcome those and learn from it. That could be a little difficult, living and learning. But there's a better way that we can go through life. We can go through life, instead of living and learning, we can learn and live. Right, and that's where we learn from, I guess, other people's mistakes. We see, you know, this person over here, well, they've got it together. They're doing it the right way. That's successful. That works out. So we try and emulate that. Or maybe we look at, you know, this person over here, and, well, that doesn't work out too well, right? So we learn from their mistakes. I guess it's like being a kid in the house. You can either learn to obey your parents by, you know, them spanking you, or you can learn from them spanking your older brother or sister, right? I mean, one is definitely less painful and probably a little funnier. Just kidding. It's not funny. But seriously, there's a better way. We don't have to live and learn. But we can learn and live, right? So, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to look at, I guess, a case study. We're going to look at two kings. I guess that's the title of the lesson tonight, A Tale of Two Kings. And both of these kings, they took place in the Old Testament. Their stories take place in the Old Testament. And really, these kings couldn't be any more different. Now, one king respected God, respected God's people, respected God's messenger. And ultimately, that it worked out well for that king. That king and his kingdom, well, prospered. The other king, he was pretty much the exact opposite. He didn't really respect God at all. He didn't respect God's people. Didn't really care about listening to God. And ultimately, it didn't work out too well for that king. You guys know who I'm talking about? I'm referring to the pharaohs. The early pharaohs that were mentioned near the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus. I'm talking about both of those pharaohs. They were both very different people. As a matter of fact, go ahead and open up your Bible, Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, and we'll read from there here in just a second. Now, in Genesis chapter 41, we see Joseph's pharaoh. And Joseph's pharaoh, he was the pharaoh who respected God. He respected God and respected his people. Do you guys remember the story of whenever he had the dream? You know, Joseph's pharaoh actually had two dreams. And in the dreams, he dreamed of one of the dreams, there were seven fat cows that were eaten by seven thin cows. In the other dream, there were seven plump or fat ears of grain that were eaten by seven skinny ears of grain. And he really didn't know, I guess, what to do with those dreams. He suspected there was something because he was trying to find an interpreter, but he didn't know what to do. So he looked for an interpreter, and there was really no one who could interpret the dream for him except for Joseph. You know, the cupbearer, you know, the king of the Pharaoh, he was upset, and no one could interpret his dream. And the cupbearer remembered that he had a dream at one point. And Joseph interpreted his dream and the baker's dream. So the cupbearer tells Pharaoh about Joseph. And that's where we pick up here, Genesis chapter 41 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 12, it says, "Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them," talking about the dreams, "we related their dreams to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. Pharaoh restored me in my office, but you hung him," talking about the baker. The baker didn't have a great interpretation for his dream. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph in verse 14, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it, and I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So here we see Pharaoh. Pharaoh goes to Joseph and says, well, Joseph, can you interpret this dream? Joseph says, well, it's not going to be me. God is going to interpret the dream. And then, God through Joseph interprets the dream. Joseph tells Pharaoh there are going to be 7 good years, right? 7 years where we're going to prosper. There's going to be plenty of food. But after that, 7 more years will follow. And those years won't be as plentiful. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a famine in those 7 years, and it's going to be hard to find food. Now, you remember how Pharaoh responds to this? Now, he responds very positively. He responds by showing respect for Joseph and God, and we see this down in verse 38. Now, in verse 38 of chapter 41, it says, then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You see, Pharaoh understands that God knows things. Pharaoh understands that God is wise. He says in verse 40, you shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh understands that there is something special about Joseph and his God. This God controls the future. He understands that there is something special about that. And this is amazing because he hadn't really seen the evidence yet, right? The fulfillment of the dreams hadn't come through yet. But after he sees the fulfillment, he still has that same respect for God. Let's go down to verse 55. Down in verse 55, the land is going through the famine. Verse 55, it says, so when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do. You see, Joseph's Pharaoh, understood that it is important to listen to God. He knew and respected Joseph and God. Now, Moses' Pharaoh, it wasn't quite this way with Moses' Pharaoh. As I said earlier, Moses' Pharaoh was pretty much the exact opposite. Let's go to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, we're going to see here when Moses sort of comes up to Pharaoh, Pharaoh sort of just dismisses him. Exodus chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. You see, Moses' Pharaoh, he didn't respect God. He didn't respect God's people. Moses comes up to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just dismisses him. Who is God? I'm not going to listen to him. And even after Pharaoh had seen the power of God, Moses' Pharaoh, he still refused to listen. Let's go forward a couple of chapters, chapter 7. Chapter 7, we're going to start reading from verse 20. In this context, Moses is going to turn water into the blood here. Exodus chapter 7, starting in verse 20, it says, so Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. See, Moses is Pharaoh, even after he had seen God's power over nature, he still refused to listen. He didn't care. He didn't respect God. You know, even after the magicians had come to Pharaoh and said, look, Pharaoh, you got to listen to this guy. he still refused to listen. Next chapter, Exodus chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "But the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth the gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.' But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said." Pharaoh's magician said, "Look, only God can do this stuff. Only God can have power over nature, over the frogs, over the gnats and the lice. We can't do this." Pharaoh still refused to listen. There even came a point where Pharaoh, he didn't want to hear God at all. Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, starting in verse 28. This is during the dark days, so to speak. Exodus chapter 10, starting in verse 28. "Then Pharaoh said to him, 'Get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die.' Moses said in verse 29, 'You are right. I shall never see your face again.'" See, even after seeing God's authority and his power, even over light, Pharaoh refused to listen. Came to the point where he said, "You know what? I don't want to hear from you again." How did that work out for Pharaoh? It didn't work out very well. Ultimately, he lost everything. He lost his son, his armies decimated, his chariots. He lost many chariots. It didn't work out well for him. Joseph's Pharaoh, on the other hand, it worked out well for him. Why? Because he listened to God. The reason I bring these stories up is so that we can have the opportunity to learn and live here. The reason I bring these stories up is to talk about the importance of listening to God. And this is important to us because we live in a world where people don't really like to listen at all, right? You know, we live in America. We're free. No one can tell me what to do. We don't listen to anyone. You know, Brent talked about it a little bit this morning. People on the internet, they don't really respond to listen, right? They're not trying to hear your point of view. They're just trying to argue with you. You know, people who argue on Facebook, you never really convince people like that, right? We don't listen. And sometimes this extends to God's word. Sometimes we have a hard time listening to God and how he wants us to live our lives because I want to do things my way. Well, for the rest of the lesson tonight, we're going to talk about the importance of listening to God. And we're really going to use the tale of the two kings here. I've got, I guess, three things that we can take away from this tale of two kings. And these are three lessons that teach us the importance of listening to God. First of all, lesson that we can take away from both of these stories is that God is smarter than we are. Now, this was true of Pharaoh, Joseph's Pharaoh, right? God knew what was going to happen, and no one else did. Joseph, on his own, he didn't know what was coming. Pharaoh didn't know what was coming. God knew. God, he was smarter than they were. Now, the same is true of Moses' Pharaoh. Moses' Pharaoh, he didn't know what was in store for him. God knew. And Pharaoh, he tried to outsmart God, but that didn't work out for him. You see, God was smarter than them. And similarly, God, he's smarter than us also. You know, this can be hard to accept because I guess we live in a world that prides itself on how smart we've become. All of the intellectual achievements, I guess, that we've achieved, right? I mean, think about it. Think about all of the stuff that we have done. We've got computers now. That's a pretty amazing feat in and of itself. We can fly, right? We've come to know so much about physics and engineering where we can get in a machine and fly on it. That's pretty amazing. We can look so deep inside of a cell, you know, and we have all this knowledge about the inner workings regarding biology that they didn't know 100 years ago, much less 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years ago. We have all of this knowledge now. But God is still smarter. You know, we've fooled ourselves if we think that we've gained so much knowledge so that we don't need a God or God anymore. Paul talks about this a little bit in 1 Corinthians. Whenever he talks about the wise man, he talks about how the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. You know, some of the people, I guess, during that time were sort of mocking God. Someone was raised from the dead. I can't believe that. That's foolish. Paul says, well, the foolishness of God is wiser or greater than the wisdom of man. The idea is God is smarter than we are. And that's why we need to listen to God. He's smarter than us. That's one of the things I took away from both of these stories, the tale of both of these pharaohs. Another thing that we could take away from all of this is that God holds all of the authority. What I mean by this is that God has all the power. Why? Because he's the author of all. He tells us what to do, right? And we listen. He's the author of all. I mean, I guess it's like being an author of a book. And I think of the Jason Bourne series. The author, his name is Robert Ludlum. Well, in those books, Jason Bourne, he didn't get to decide his own name. You know, I don't really like the name Jason Bourne. That didn't happen. That couldn't happen, right? Robert Ludlum is the one who decided Jason Bourne is going to be Jason Bourne, and he's the one who decided Jason Bourne is going to do all of these things. Bourne didn't have a choice. The author of the book had all of the power. Similarly, God has all the authority. He has all the power. He's author over us. You know, this is something that Joseph's Pharaoh understood. He understood that there was something special about God because God had the power of the future. He understood that. Moses' Pharaoh, he didn't see it, right? After seeing all of these plagues that showed God's power, and ultimately it ended with the ninth plague was God having power over life. And then the tenth plague, God having power over life. But Pharaoh refused to listen. See, God, he held all authority then. And God holds all the authority now. In the ancient world, they had gods over specific things. They had gods over the seas, gods over thunder. The God of the Bible is God over all. He controls all. And he created everything around us, and he has authority over us to tell us what to do. And we shouldn't argue with that. You know, in Romans chapter 9, Paul talks about the thing that is molded. Paul says, can the thing that is molded say to the molder, why have you made me this way? Well, no, because the molder has the authority. And we can't talk back to God, or we shouldn't talk back to God, because he has the authority. You know, it's kind of like Mr. Cosby used to say, I brought you into this world, take you out, right? God brought us into this world, so he has the authority. It's one of the things that I learned from these two stories. Another thing that we could take away from these two stories, though, is that God, he knows what's best for us. This is true of Joseph's Pharaoh. God knew the famine was coming, and he knew what was best for Egypt, and he knew what was best for his people, right? In Moses' story, with Moses' Pharaoh, God knew what was best for Egypt. He knew what was going to happen if Egypt didn't listen. And God knew what was best for his people. You see, God knew what was best then. And God knows what's best for us now. And sometimes it's kind of hard to understand, right? It's hard to understand why God asked us to live a specific way or do specific things. We don't always get it, right? Why, God, do I have to have friends within the church and not have as many friends out in the community? Why do we have to practice church discipline? I don't quite get it. You know, there are some things that we're not going to understand, but God knows what's best. I guess it's like being a child living in your parents' house. You know, whenever you're really young, we might not always understand why our parents say, hey, don't touch the stove. right? We might not always get that when we're really, really young. Or maybe we don't always understand why our parents give us a curfew and say, hey, you need to be in the house at this specific time. You know, whenever I sort of had a curfew, I guess, whenever I was younger. I didn't really have a curfew so much as I just had to call my parents. You know, if I knew if I was going to be out after 11, I'd have to give them a call. And one time that didn't happen. So I get home, and it's late, and I go lay down, and then I hear, like, the garage open. And I'm like, well, who's coming home really late? And it was my parents. They were gone. They were out looking for me, and I was in a lot of trouble. Let me put it that way. I was in a lot. I mean, it's not like I wasn't out on the streets, like, selling drugs or anything. I was playing paintball with my friends, and I forgot to call. But I got in trouble. And, you know, maybe whenever we're younger, we don't get why our parents do those things. But whenever we get older, we understand that our parents want what's best for us, right? Whenever we get older, we understand that our parents tell us not to touch the stove because the stove's hot. When we get older, we understand that our parents give us a curfew because there are weird people who are out late at night and they're on the roads. And that's not always the best thing. See, our parents want and know what's best for us. Similarly, God wants what's best for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, God compares, I guess, his relationship with us to that of a parent. He talks about how he disciplines us, how he reproves us, how he instructs us, because he loves us, because he wants what's best for us. And that's another lesson that I learned here from these two stories. And I guess sort of in conclusion, there's one more that I could add to the list, but and that is that God is judge over all. It's not going to be on the slides because I have rules. Some of you guys know about it. But yeah, God, in conclusion, another lesson that we could take away is that God, he's the judge over us. He judges us. You know, we saw this in Moses' story. Pharaoh didn't listen to God, but God's judgment went out over Egypt, right? God was judge of Egypt, and similarly, God judges us. So I guess the question that I could leave you off with is, have you been listening? It's important that we listen to God, because God, he's smarter than us. He has all the authority. He knows what's best for us, and he is the judge. And maybe there's someone who's here tonight who hasn't been listening to God. They've sort of wandered away from the Lord. If that describes you, you can come back to the Lord tonight. Or maybe there's someone else who wants to listen to what the Lord says regarding their eternal salvation. If that's you, if you have been studying and you know that you want to enter through the door and become a child or sheep of the Lord, then you can do that tonight. Whatever you need, you can do it right now as we stand, as we sing.